It's the Science Times podcast for Tuesday, February 5th. I'm David Corcoran of the New York Times. This week, the podcast goes to the movies, how to talk to toddlers, and camouflaging your scent. Our cosmology reporter, Dennis Overby, traveled to Cambridge, Massachusetts for a symposium at MIT. This time, the subject was a Hollywood movie called Jumper, being released later this month, about a young man played by Hayden Christensen who discovers he can teleport himself anywhere just by thinking about it.
There are people out there who have power. Who you are, what you are, can change history.
Did I just teleport?
Basically science fiction, but not entirely. In the movies, teleportation is moving an object from one place to another. In reality, it's more like making copies of subatomic particles. To help us separate fact from fiction, I spoke to one of the participants in that symposium, Professor Max Tegmark. Dr. Tegmark, my first teleportation experience was actually 50 years ago. It was a 1958 horror movie in which Vincent Price played a hapless scientist who exchanged body parts with a fly. Have the movies gotten any more sophisticated since then?
Actually, yeah. In Jumper, for example, every time Hayden Christensen teleports out, you'll see that there's a slight implosion caused by the air getting sucked into the vacuum that's left behind. And I really like it when directors try to put in that kind of physics detail.
Okay, that's good to know. One other thing that's changed recently in terms of teleportation anyway is that scientists have actually accomplished it. Can you describe the experiment?
Yeah, so what's been done is to teleport tiny particles like electrons or photons, light particles, making a distance copy that's not just kind of sort of the same, like a fake $20 bill, but truly identical down to every detail of the quantum state of the particle. It's a little different from the movie in that the original particle doesn't actually disappear. Einstein told us that matter and energy can't just disappear from one place, but all the information about the state of the particle disappears. The copy, then, is completely indistinguishable from the real thing.
So this was done with a particle rather than a set of particles or molecules or heaven forbid, an actual human being.
Well, so we're made by particles, and we got to take one step at a time. So this is clearly the first fledgling steps in this direction.
Is there any indication that sometime in the future, whether near or distant, that it might actually become possible to accomplish something like teleportation with humans, flies, or anything else?
Although it might be physically possible, I don't think there is too much motivation at this point for trying to make a quantum identical copy of humans, because even if you make a copy where the quantum state isn't exactly the same, but your brain is put together more or less the same way, you would probably not even notice a difference. What's rather driving this is other applications. There's a huge amount of interest right now in quantum cryptography. It turns out that if you've teleported your message from the Pentagon to the White House, instead of sending it with a regular code over the internet, it's physically impossible for somebody to eavesdrop on you. You can prove from first principles of quantum physics that if somebody were to eavesdrop on your message, the message itself would get destroyed. So this is a very exciting application. And then another thing where there's even more money potentially is in cracking the credit card codes which are used when you buy things over the internet, or that the Russians use in their military ciphers. They're based on certain math problems which are designed to be impossible to solve with normal computers. But so-called quantum computers have been proven to be able to just crush this problem. And teleportation is exactly the way that you send information from one part of the quantum computer to another. And esoteric as it sounds, this is actually a really, really vibrant science area now.
So it sounds as if there are practical applications for teleportation, as esoteric as quantum science may sound to us now.
Yeah, but I think it's very important to realize that even though it might sound totally useless to think about fundamental physics questions like how space and time works, now, it was precisely because Einstein was thinking about the nature of time that he figured out that mass equals energy times the speed of light squared, and this gave us nuclear power. So what's so great and crucial about all the great breakthroughs in science is, you know, we can't predict them, right? And that's why it's so valuable when scientists get inspired by sci-fi or otherwise to just ask these seemingly useless questions about the basic nature of reality.
Coming back to this movie that was the subject of the symposium at MIT, it's clear to me from talking to you that the movies have something to learn from science. Does science have anything to learn from the movies?
Absolutely. Science fiction often gets scientists thinking. You know those sliding doors that open for you automatically? You know, we have them because some guy saw one on Star Trek and thought, you know, wait a minute, I can build that and make money. And in my experience as a scientist, the hardest thing often isn't finding the right answer, but finding the right question. So getting inspiration from sci-fi, for instance, is really crucial.
Max Tegmark is a professor of physics at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, whose specialty is cosmology. He's featured in Dennis Overby's article this week about an MIT symposium on the forthcoming movie Jumper. You can watch a trailer for that movie, if you dare, at nytimes.com/science. Dr. Tegmark, many thanks for being with us.
Thank you very, very much.